First of the articles has been released today. The wise witch from Cedar Creek. He doesn't worship Satan. He's just a white witch. Now, there's no difference between white witchery and black witchery. The people these people are really frightened of are the Islamic people. They claim not to be anti-Christian, but they are. And so he and Keisha are the ones who promote the white witchcraft. And somehow or another, by God's grace, I've got to come in and correct all of this from the Bible for these people. We're going to be well and truly put right before the people, aren't we? Especially down round where the covens are, Woodridge and Kingston and Benley. And whilst this is a rough road in a lot of ways, and whilst it can be rough on me, I want you to know that these are the greatest opportunities that you're going to have in proclaiming the gospel, because people out there are looking for direction. I said to this young journalist this afternoon, she's a fourth-year journalist, and I said to this young woman this afternoon, I said, in your opinion, what do you think of Australia? She said, Australia is a pagan country. Well, I said, now you've said that, I said, do you think anyone's turning back looking for Christ and the teachings of Christianity? And she said, yes. And I said, who do you think is turning back? Who's looking desperately? She said, the younger generation are looking for direction. And I just looked her straight in the eye and I said, are you looking for Christ? She broke down and cried. And I called Beryl in and we led her back. We're going to have a great ministry ahead of us, aren't we? Now, let's go to Isaiah 51, verses 12 and 13 tonight, where the word says, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? That's a very interesting passage of scripture, isn't it? I want to take it now and put it into a counseling situation with you. Worry is an oppressor. And not many people realize that. But when you've had a nervous breakdown or two, and you've done a lot of counselling, and you've talked to a few psychiatrists over the years with alcohol problems, and all of that, you suddenly realise that worry is an oppressor. And because worry is an oppressor, we suffer oppression, which we like to call worry. Now, most people will worry about anything, won't they? They worry about something that happened yesterday. Well, you know what counselors call them? Historians. Because they themselves are history, literally. Then there are those who worry about what's going to happen today. And you know what counselors call them? The prophets of doom. And then there are those who worry about tomorrow. The great anticipators. Yeah. Historians, prophets of doom, and anticipators. If we worry, what does that indicate? That indicates that we do not fully trust God. And if we trust, we do not worry. You've heard the slogan so often, why worry when you can pray? Now, let me first of all say to you tonight that worry is different from being concerned. Being concerned is not an oppressor. Worry is. I mean, I can get concerned about things and concerned about world events, but they don't worry me. I don't go to bed and lose sleep over it. Sure, we should be concerned about the affairs of the world. I've just had a man ring me from Nara. He wanted to know what I thought about Germany. He's a great old Bible student of prophecy. He was trying to pick my brains. He said, do you think they'll become a republic? I said, I think they will. And he said, what do you reckon will happen after they become a republic? And I said, well, it won't be long, and the republics and the Russians and the communists and the China will all get together, and China will go across the Great Red Wall, and down they'll come from the north. Students of prophecy love to look at those things. But it's interesting to watch what is going on. We can be concerned about it, but we don't have to worry about it. It's all very interesting, you know, because Russia has 4/5 of the world's horses at this point in time. And that is very significant regarding the Battle of Armageddon. Well, we better not get on to prophecy. Let's stick with this subject tonight. We need to be concerned about the affairs of our loved ones. But we don't have to worry about them if we place them in God's care and God's hands. And then, whatever goes wrong, you have to accept it and then analyze what God is saying. Well, tonight we're going to ask the question and then we're going to try and answer it. Is it sinful for a Christian to worry? Well, I believe it is. Why is it sinful for a Christian to worry? Well, it's sinful because worry is dishonoring to the Lord. And when we worry, we doubt God, and nothing dishonors God so much as when his people fail to trust him. And that's what worry does. Worry indicates that we're not trusting God. There are some passages of scripture that we could look at, but we'll look at a couple. Matthew 14:31, and here's Peter, of course, you know, he's got out of the boat and he's taken his eyes off the Lord and everything. And what does 31 say? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Have a look at Hebrews 3:12. And it says, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Many of us are like Peter, aren't we? Take our eyes off the Lord and we begin to doubt. Now, what happened to Peter when he began to doubt? He began to sink. He began to go in a downward direction. And that's what happens to a lot of us. Romans 14:23 says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, if we, the sons and daughters of God, are filled with fear and worry, is that really faith? Now, what did our Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew 6:34? He said, Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Before I really could read the Bible, I understood the significance of that passage of Scripture in AA. Because in AA, we have little sayings like this. Yesterday is history. That's the money you spend anyhow. Tomorrow, you haven't got it yet, so you work with the cash that you have in your hand for today. One day at a time. I got that song, I love that song, I play it over and over. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. And it's only one day at a time, isn't it? Tomorrow's not here, and we mightn't be here tomorrow. But what can you do about yesterday? You can't do a thing about yesterday, only learn lessons from it. You can't go back and retrieve yesterday. It's history. But you can learn lessons from it. You don't know about tomorrow. You don't have a mortgage on tomorrow, nor do I, do we? Now, one of the secrets we shall learn is that all Christ's commands are his enablings. When he commands us to do something, he enables us to do it. I believe also worry is sinful because it is damaging to ourselves. Who gets upset when you worry? Only you. Same as anger, isn't it? Ever been travelling down the highway? I used to be like this years ago. And somebody chopped me on the highway. And you'd shake your fist and you'd yell. And I used to swear and rant and rave. And Beryl used to just look at me in her sweet little way and said, When you catch him, why don't you tell him? It's stupid when you think about it, isn't it? And what's the good of worrying about it and getting all stewed up? Nothing works greater havoc in our lives than persistent gnawing, worry and fear. Now, it's often been said that it is not work that kills us, and it isn't, but worry. Worry damages us mentally and physically, but it is also very damaging spiritually. Worry robs us of peace and power and places a barrier between ourselves and God. Now, I want you to think about this. Sometimes even Christians will do more worrying than praying. Oh, yes, they'll go and talk to the Lord for 5 minutes, and then they'll go and lie in bed for 5 hours, worrying about it. So stupid. Doesn't really matter. God's in control. And if God isn't in control, well, what are we doing here? Many Christians, I believe, allow worry to paralyze their Christian work and their witness. And that's why we don't have a lot of Christian work done and we don't have a lot of Christian witnessing today, because worry is paralyzing us. And Satan's doing it very, very subtly, you know. Well, what does Philippians 4, 6 and 7 say? I used to quote this, when in a fix, remember Philippians 4 and 6. But what does it say? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And here's the beautiful thing, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, the heart there is the inner man, the inner being, and the mind. And if you have peace in your inner man and in your mind when you lie down and sleep at night, you're right, aren't you? I don't have any trouble sleeping at night and wake up 6 hours later very refreshed. Do you know that we can ruin our kids in our home by letting them see us worry to death over nothing? And I've talked to enough psychologists and psychiatrists over the years to see worry as not only detrimental, but as a real murder weapon. Because it's a reproductive thing, especially in family life. If you see a mother who's a real worrier, 9 times out of 10 her daughter or her son will be a real worrier. Worrying over nothing. I think also that when a Christian worries, his or her testimony is affected. And let me tell you that people are watching you. They're watching you. And if the world sees us full of unbelief, then what witness do we have? What witness do we have? Now, many Christians say they believe in God and are yet filled with worry. Now, many of us will from time to time be under stress and in the midst of trials, but if we maintain a quiet confidence in God, we will have a great witness. There'll be trials and temptations come your way. But what are they there for? They're there to build your character, your Christian character. And if you can breeze through these with a quiet confidence in God, you are going to have a great witness. A great witness. Have you ever looked at the Lord Jesus Christ through the pages of Scripture and see how calm he was on the eve of his arrest, his trial and his crucifixion? Let's have a look at John 14:27 and see what's said there. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Well, then I think that it's sinful also, because worry is desirable to the devil. It is a sin to worry. Why play into the hands of the devil? And you know, there's a lot of scripture to tell us these things. Now, in Acts chapter 12, there's a tremendous story there about Peter. You know, Peter was arrested and he was put into prison. Peter, he just curls up and goes to sleep, doesn't he? Okay, the church was at prayer for him, and what was hanging over his head? The threat of death, that was hanging over his head, but he didn't care. A lot of people, when they read Acts 12, don't realize that Peter had been told something by Christ. And it's simply this, Peter was trusting in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord had told Peter that he would not die until he was old. And just at this precise time in Peter's life, he was far from being old. So he had the confidence of the word of God. But Satan would have loved it if he had seen Peter stewing instead of sleeping. In Acts 12:17, the scripture reveals that if Peter had worried, it would have been futile. For he would have been worrying about something that would never have happened. Peter was at rest. The people who were praying for Peter were asking God to do something about it, and Peter was released. And so there was perfect harmony in the will of God. It's not only a sin to worry, but it's very foolish for a Christian to worry. It certainly is foolish to worry when we consider that the thing we are worrying about may never happen. One of your loved ones goes for a trip, so you sit at home and you wonder and you anticipate, oh, they're going to get killed, they're going to get smashed. You got them in a coffin. You've even said the nice words over them, and you've even thought, oh, well, I'll put roses on the coffin. And I mean, if they did get killed, you wouldn't be able to handle it. You'd be in a mess. We're always anticipating things if we fall into the devil's trap of worry, the great anticipators.
I had a fellow who wanted to come onto the evangelistic board. He was the greatest anticipator I'd ever met in my life. He wanted it in black and white and everything. Budget, no, we couldn't work unless we did this. I said, hooray. And I sacked him on the spot. I've always been a man of faith, and I'll remain a man of faith. He was going to anticipate what next year's budget was going to be. I don't worry about things like that. The Lord writes the checks right on time. He's got the biggest bank I know, and if you're faithful, he'll look after you. Has God ever let you down? You know who lets you down? Yourself, when you fail to believe in a God who will look after you. Now, I'm not saying that you should look to God with the gospel of prosperity. That's not biblical. But if you trust God, God will meet you at every crossroad, and he'll be there every time. It's very foolish to worry. But supposing something does happen, I believe it is foolish then if we don't analyze what's happened. We always have to stand still long enough to see what God is saying in every situation. I believe it is foolish to worry because if we have worried, we are less ready to meet the experiences of life when they do come. Why? Because worry will zap your energy. It'll take all your emotional energy and your mental energy and your physical and spiritual energy out of you. Well, how can we meet the crisis of life if worry has already exhausted us? We can't. Worry will rob us of our moral and spiritual and physical energies. Do you know that when you start to worry, do you know where the energy goes out of your body? You know where the energy capacity is in your body, don't you? It's in your potassium. And if you start to worry, you know where all of that energy goes? Straight out through your urine. Did you know that? You have a look at real worriers. They just about live in the loo, don't they? I believe it's a fact that worry does more harm than the actual thing about which we are worrying. Whatever happens will only be with God's permission, either in the direct will of God or the permissive will of God. Have a look at Psalm 42, verses 7 and 8. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. A lot of us as Christians quote Romans 8:28, but we don't live it, do we? If we stand still long enough and realize that whatever happens, it will always result in good, then we will see the hand of God at work. I remember when I was in hospital in 1961, and this dear man, 43 years of age, died of leukemia, came into hospital whilst I was strapped to the bed, and then I was allowed to get up and walk. And I was listening to this man die, and listening to him praying as he was dying, lovely Christian man, and at 2 a.m. Good Friday morning, 1961, through him praying, I was spoken to very, very directly by the Lord. That man went home to be with the Lord at 7:30 that morning, and today I'm your pastor. Good come out of that. Good always comes out of things if you can see God's hand at work. I believe there is blessing in every trouble that comes. Oh, why did it happen? The tragedy is we get occupied with the trouble rather than look for the blessing. Don't get occupied with the trouble. Start looking for the blessing because it'll be there. All you have to do is see it. If there were no trials and testings in our lives, we would not grow in character. None of us would grow in spiritual character without the trials and testings. Sometimes the testings can be very severe, but we need to say, Lord, what are you teaching us? Now, I believe worry is also foolish because even if the worst that we fear happens, God's grace will always be sufficient. You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians when he cried to God and God came back to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Didn't say sufficient for everybody. He said sufficient for you. And God speaks to us on that individual basis. And I think that we need to remember that God's grace is given to us in the moment of salvation, but grace upon grace is only given to us in the moment of need when we require it.
But most people worry because they do not understand the grace of God. And do you know who are the greatest worriers? Not so much non-Christians, but legalistic Christians, who run around and spout off, oh, the grace of God, and they can quote the scripture and everything. They got it all up here, but they don't know about it down here. There's a big difference. Applied knowledge is the key, but if you can't apply knowledge, it's useless to you. The grace of God will always be given to us when we face the trial or testing. Now, it's foolish to worry because the promises of God never fail. Did you read every day with Jesus today? 3,600 promises. There's more than that. There's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. They're all there. And those promises are tremendous when you can rely on them. Well, the promises of God never fail. Then I believe it is foolish to worry because nothing can ever happen to us or separate us from the love of Christ. Never, ever. That is, if we are truly in Christ.